We're going to read verses 1 through 11. You can remain seated on this. We'll read 1 through 11. Follow along as I read out loud. Now, kind of get close to try to get close to a Bible so you can follow along. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren, or rather all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his son, or rather when his brethren, saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray thee, you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" You know what verse 8 means? It means they properly interpreted the dream. Whether Joseph gave the interpretation or not, they interpreted it. They knew what the dream meant. Verse 8, let's follow again. "For shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren. His father rebuked him. Rebuked him. You need to follow that. And said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Father, again tonight we pray one more time, asking you to please put your blessings upon our services tonight. We pray that the music has been a sweet-smelling savor unto you. We pray that the testimony time has been a blessing to an encouragement to your people, Lord, and that it's been a blessing to you as well. Now we pray as we've read the Word of God, as we study it together, as we make application together, we pray, dear God, that you'd speak to us, that you would help us to understand, that you would make application even in areas where we don't specifically speak. Work in your people's heart tonight. Help us to respond that you might receive glory. And it's in your precious name we pray and ask all these things because we love you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Now, I said this morning, and I'll say again, what we're going to talk about tonight is finding favor in God's eyes. And our desire in this world is to find favor with God. We want to live our life with God's favor. Certainly, we don't want to go through our life and find God's judgment, condemnation, His wrath, His curse, like we're talking about this morning. We don't want to have that in our life. Surely, this evening, as we are listening to the Word of God, it's the passion, it's the drive, it's the desire of our heart to find favor with God. To find favor with God. Now, I said this morning, tonight, as Ms. Dreher was giving testimony out of Proverbs chapter 2, great chapter, which associates with today. In my studies of Proverbs chapter 3, God revealed a few things to me in my study. So, do this with me tonight. Keep your finger, because we're going to come right back to Genesis 37. Go to Proverbs 3 with me for just a few moments. Proverbs 3. And then we'll come right back to Genesis 37. Proverbs 3. Okay. Say amen when you're there. That's the most amens I've ever heard in this church. No, I'm teasing. Okay, here we go. Verse number 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Now watch verse 3 and 4. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck." What are you supposed to bind around your neck? Mercy and truth, right? "Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find what? What's that word? Favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This verse was revealed to me really in my prayers and in my time of studying the Word of God when I was asking God for His favor. Melissa and I were privileged to be called by God to come to Fall City. The problem, if there could be a problem with this, and there not necessarily that I'm pointing out a problem, there's God took care of us. But the struggle that we had is that we had nothing. I mean, I had no job here. We had no support. We didn't really have any people. I mean, Miss Marilyn was coming and a few others, but we really didn't have anything here. We had no friends. We had no money in the savings account. I mean, we had a little bit, but nothing really. And we came. So I worked full-time in St. Joe, as many of you know, for almost a year. And I understood, Melissa understood, that whenever that job is done and I'm not getting a paycheck anymore, there's a good chance that I'm going to have to find something here because, I mean, there's no income. How are we going to survive? So we just began to pray and ask God if He would supply and we would get some support. And by the way, some guys called me within weeks finding out that we're here pastoring and took us on for support. We didn't even have to go to the church and present the field. They just said, they knew me, they're friends, and they said, we're excited about what God's doing in your life. We want to support you. And they took us on, and they've supported us now for 4 years. Praise God for that. But still, it wasn't enough to survive, you know? I mean, to pay all of the bills. And so, you know, we did that for a year, and we made plans in January of 2013 to go to Oklahoma City, because at Heartland Baptist Bible College, there's a home missions conference for church planters in the United States of America, which is pretty much what we were at that time. So we said, we're going to go to Oklahoma City. I signed up online. I put my name on there, put my little story of what God's doing here in Fall City. I shipped it off and took the family down to Oklahoma City. And it's just a prayer. Because there's no guarantees you're going to get to present what God is doing. There's no guarantees they're going to call you to the platform and have the ability to present. Now, here's the blessing about this conference. There's over 600 pastors that go to it. That's just pastors, not counting the hundreds of missionary church planters that are there and just common folk that are there. I say common folk in that not pastor, not missionary, just church-going folks. So, I mean, there's a lot of people there, going on 1,000 people that are at this meeting. And we're there, we're just like a couple ants sort of sitting there, and we're just praying, God, we have a need here, and we don't know what we're going to do. And there's no guarantee we're going to get to present. And so I'm asking God, will you allow us to be able to present what God's doing? Because we actually need some help financially. And we were in a bind at that time, some with some finances. And then God revealed this to me, that if you're merciful and if you're truthful, then God will show favor to you, not only with God, with men. And I decided that I wasn't going to stress out. I was just going to be merciful and truthful. And you find that whenever you decide to do those two things, just how much we lack mercy sometimes. I'm just thinking about my kids. You know, I'm like, man, sometimes I just do not show any mercy to them. And it was really evident in my life at that time. Sometimes I'm not as honest and truthful, even as a pastor, a man of God, as I should be, you know, about things. And God really worked me over. And you know what I found at the end of that meeting? During the meeting that my name was called. He just reads off like four or five, maybe six names. So-and-so going to this city, come to the front. So-and-so going to this city, come to the front. Ben Moore, Fall City. I'm like, I feel like I'm in a game show. Yeah, run to the front, get up there. No, I didn't do that. But, you know, you call my name, you know. So I'm standing up there, and I just get up there. I just ramble, and it's just I don't even remember. I'm sure I looked foolish. But I knew this. I just asked God for His mercy, for His favor. I asked God for His favor. And He worked on my heart with this. And it's like God was telling me, I'm going to show you favor. It was favor just for me to get up there. And then God gave us over $5,000 that first time. Just finances to help us. And we really needed that. And praise the Lord for that. Listen, we need God's favor in our life today. We need His favor, not just so we can get money or finances, just so that we in our life can know that we are walking down the road that He wants us to walk down. Because, listen, just like we said this morning, whenever you go against the flow of this world, you're going against the current. And life just gets hard naturally because you're going against the world. And how much a blessing it is to when God shows His favor to us. Now, I want you to know there's a couple things about this message today. Joseph finds favor, but he also finds that whenever he receives this favor from God, from his father, from God, he was also hated. Okay? So when we are faithful to God, watch this. When we're faithful to God and the little things, then God will show favor on us. However, it might bring jealous hatred of others in our along the way too. Now let's see that in verses 1 through 4 together. Follow along. Verse number 1. Jacob dwelled in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan, and these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, there's a couple things about that. Joseph is bringing their evil report, which means their activity is wrong deeds. It's evil deeds. Also, by implication, it would mean Joseph was righteous. Now, I want you to see this, because sometimes we see this just as Joseph, what a tattletale. You know, I mean, this guy's just a tattletale. No. That's not the case at all. It's that Joseph is a righteous man. His brothers are evil indeed. And so if you're righteous, now watch this. If you're righteous, if you're doing the right thing, and you are exposed or around a group or influenced by a group who are going down the wrong path or doing wrong, are you comfortable with that? If you're doing right, if you want to do right, are you comfortable with those that are doing wrong? No, you're not comfortable with it. And certainly it would be our desire to help those that are going down the wrong path. And so by implication, we see in this text that Joseph would have been righteous, uncomfortable with the evil deeds of his brothers. And so he said something about it because it bothered him. Now I want you to see verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So Joseph is favored by his father. Why was he favored? Well, he was the son of his old age, but not just the son of his old age. Listen, Joseph would have also been favored because of his righteous deeds. I mean, we can see that because it's mentioned first. It's mentioned before it says that Joseph was the son of his old age. It tells us that Joseph was a righteous young man. He did right in his father's eyes, which also brought privilege to him. Yeah, brought privilege. So his father bought him a colored coat, something that made him stand out, right? Now let's see. Sean, stand up. Come right over here. Okay. Now, I didn't bring a coat, but turn around, because I know that you love being in front of everybody. Okay, so here's what's happening. Jacob gave Joseph the coat of many colors, but what would that mean? It would mean when he wore the coat, which was a long coat, would have went down to his wrists, and it would have been long down to his ankles. His brothers would have saw that, and they would have known just by seeing it that Joseph is favored. They would have known that. Why? Because the coat would have meant this, that Joseph is the one who is to receive the inheritance. Now, what does that mean? It means that Joseph would be the one who would get the double portion and be the leader of the family. And they would have known that every time they saw the coat on him. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. And so we need to keep that in mind, that Joseph was favored, but he was elevated. He was promoted. And right at the start, when we meet Joseph, we see that he's promoted because of his faithfulness, because of his his righteousness. And we see that all through his life. I mean, this is a constant, wouldn't you agree? When he was thrown in jail, what did he do? He was promoted. Whenever he was with Pharaoh, what did he do? He was promoted. In Potiphar's house, what was he? He was promoted. Every single aspect of Joseph's life, he found himself promoted. And we see it right at the beginning. He's promoted to the top. His brothers hated him for it. They simply could not stand that dad elevated him to the position of heir. Now they would have received the inheritance, but not the double portion. That would have went to Joseph. Now, what was Joseph in all of this? He found favor, but what was he? He was faithful. He was faithful to do the little things. He took care of the flocks. He was righteous in his deed, so that even as later we found that Joseph was told by his father to go spy out his brothers. Remember, church? Joseph was told by his father later on to go spy out his brothers. So probably when Joseph was bringing the evil deeds of his brother back to his father, probably reporting to his father just as his dad asked him to. I mean, it seems to imply that as well. Faithful. Faithful in the little things. Doing what he's told. We need to determine to be faithful in the little things. We need to be determined that I'm going to be faithful to church. I know you're here tonight, but I know that at times it's encouraging to hear that we need to determine to be faithful in the little things, just being here. We need to be determined to be faithful in our ministry as we serve. I said this morning, I want to say it again tonight. If you don't have ministry, then you should. We should all have ministry because that's why we're here. We're here to not only get, but we're here to serve. And that's what minister means. We need to live righteously, as Joseph gives example, as we're faithful in the little things, that we would live righteous. That we wouldn't do things and hide it. You know, like that song, Do Right, when you're all alone and no one else is there. No one's, and God knows, doesn't He? So live righteous whenever you're alone or wherever you are. Don't hide things, but be truthful, to be faithful. And so Joseph found favor with God. Don't you think you can find favor with God too? Of course. Favor means grace. You should mark that. Favor means grace. And we could receive an extra portion of grace being God's children when we're faithful in the little things. I love my children. I love all four of them. 1, 2, 3, 4. I love all four of them. And I love all four of them the same. But you know, I really do, okay? I really do. I love all four of them the same. But that doesn't mean that they're all four going to receive the same favor from me all of the time. Because it might be that one day, three of them do not obey, three of them did not do what I asked them to do, but one of them did. Therefore, one of them that obeyed and did what I asked him to do is going to receive more favor than the other. Not because I like him more. It's because he obeyed. He was righteous indeed. And therefore, by being righteous indeed, whether it's in behavior, not just outward behavior, parents, we know, don't we? And your kids do what they're supposed to do, but their attitude's wrong. They're not hiding it. They cannot hide a bad attitude. I mean, it's going to come out. And so we reward them, don't we? By being righteous in behavior, also in attitude. And they go hand in hand. And so they'll find favor, and the same is true between us and God. Just earlier today, matter of fact, one of the kids, I was watching the kids this afternoon, which they did very well, and they were playing in the yard. I gave instruction, don't go past the brick wall and don't go into the driveway, play in the yard. We did that for 30 minutes, and then they were able to come up and watch VeggieTales for a little time. And I came downstairs to get a drink of water, and I saw one of the children there. I don't want to embarrass, so I'm not going to call them out by name, but here. But they were standing over there in the corner, and they were like, I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Nothing? Nothing at all. Right. What are you doing? You know, not doing anything. I'm just standing here. And I said, let's go to my office. You know, and then we talked in there. I let the other kids go to watch the VeggieTales. And this particular child realized at that moment there's a very good possibility they're not going to get to watch VeggieTales. And then it was a very dramatic scene. You know, not getting, life is over, you know. Okay. So we talked at that moment. I said, what's going on here? I mean, what are you doing? I mean, so they were hiding something from me. They had involved themselves with something without asking, and then they tried to hide it. And then finally they admitted to what they had done, and then they said this. Now watch. They said, I'm not going to get to watch VeggieTales, am I? And then I said, well, you tell me. Do you deserve to get to watch VeggieTales? And then they said this. Now, the whole reason I'm telling you this story is to give this to you. Okay? They said, Dad, I don't deserve to watch VeggieTales, but I want to. Now, as a parent, you know what that made me want to do? Pour out the grace, because they admitted they didn't deserve it, but they wanted it, with a humble heart. And I said, okay, you can wait 5 minutes, sit in that chair, and we'll pray together, and then you can go watch it. And I was proud of them, because they were humble, willing to admit, made me want to pour out the favor. It wanted me to pour out the grace. And so in our lives, we can find favor with God. We can find God's grace in our life dumped out on us as we are willing to be righteous, as we are willing to be faithful. Watch this, in the little things. Faithful in the little things. We'll find favor with God in our lives. At times we might find that the world around us is just a hair jealous, possibly leading to hatred. Now this isn't new, is it? Go to Genesis again, but this time go to chapter 4. And then I'll flip you back over there to chapter 37. But go to Genesis 4. It isn't new. This isn't a new concept. When somebody does right, that it, and you find favor with God, that it actually brings the hatred of others. Look at verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she said again, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. This was not a good thing, friends. Church, this wasn't a good thing. And Cain knew that, because I mean, we might want to show sympathy to Cain here. Well, how did he know? Did God tell him? Of course God told him. How then would Abel have known to do what he did? If Abel didn't know. Well, I think you know what I'm trying to say. I just got lost in what I was saying there. Look at verse number 4. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect, watch this, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So he's angry, because Abel was received favor from God, and Cain did not receive favor. Made him angry. What did he do? Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? The implication there is, you knew better, Cain. You knew better than what you did. You knew that it required there was a requirement of a blood sacrifice. And we cannot picture the death of Jesus Christ without a blood sacrifice. And you brought the works of your hands, thinking you can make your own way to relationship with me by bringing the work of your hands when it requires a blood sacrifice to picture Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a picture that we can't work our way to heaven. Somebody has to die, and that's what Jesus did for us, to pay the penalty of our sins for us. And he knew that. Apparently, he knew that implication there. Verse 7, and if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. There's a lot there, but we don't have time to deal with that. Look at verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain arose up against Abel, his brother, and what? Slew him. They killed him. Let me ask you a question, church. Why did Cain kill Abel whenever it was God who showed favor? God's the one who showed the favor. Why did Cain, why was he the one who had to die? Because when you do right, and you stand up for God, and you live righteous, you live holy, you are faithful in the little things, along the way, it may be, not necessarily all the time in every situation, but it may be along the way that it's going to make somebody angry. It's going to cause somebody to envy the favor that God has shown to you. And it's a lash out to you, not to God who showed them the favor, but against you. Okay? Now, we'll see some more application on that here in just a little bit later. When we've demonstrated ourselves faithful to God in the little things, God promises to give us greater favor. But we also need to remember others will continue to be moved with envy and hatred. Let's see that in verse number 5 through 11. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Why did they hate him because of this dream? It's because of the favor that God showed. Verse 6. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. His brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? So here's what's happened. Joseph had a dream, and in his youth, watch this, he tells his brothers, the story, the dream. He tells them that there's the sheaves, and his arose, there's bowed, made obeisance. Why sheaves? Could it be that in the dream, God not only is saying that Joseph is going to rise in authority, in favor, but also gives maybe a sort of a hint of what kind of thing is about to happen with the sheaves in the field? That, now listen, oh, this is good. That the way that God was going to save them was through the grain, through the sheaves. And just because, watch this, just because Joseph's is elevated doesn't mean that the others have no authority. But they didn't see that because they also were sheaves or sources of food. But they didn't see that. They were only angry because Joseph's was higher than theirs. Ooh. Okay, what about the next one? Okay, so the dream continued, verse number 9. He dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren, said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. So this, we're talking the celestial here, or the terrestrial, I think. Verse 10. And it would be celestial. And he told it unto his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down? So here we have another dream where you have the sun, the moon, and the stars. And who is Joseph in this? Well, we don't know. We just know that the sun, the moon, and the stars bow down. And the sun, the moon, and the stars, all that are spoken of there, which would be Joseph's entire family, also all being elevated with authority. But they didn't notice that, only that Joseph's was the one that was the highest. So God's favor is upon the whole family. But Joseph is getting a greater degree of favor. And they didn't like it. Nobody liked it. And they were very angry. Matter of fact, verse number 11, it says, his brethren envied him and his father observed the same. Yeah. So, finding favor with God. We noted, didn't we, that it might bring some hatred towards us because we have found God's favor. It might, along the way, bring the envy of others because of what God has done in our life. But I think we need not worry about that, but more just consider this. And you should mark this, that you can find favor with God when you're faithful in the little things, because that's what Joseph was. He was faithful in the little things. Let me say that again. Now, we've already noted in the beginning of our message that we all want to find favor with God. We desire that. And you can find favor with God when you're faithful. I didn't define for you the terms of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, where it says mercy and truth. The words mercy and truth, let me give you the definitions of those words. I think you're going to find this very interesting in application of our text. The word mercy in the text, Proverbs 3, you don't need to turn there, but here's what it means. Mercy means love, kindness, and faithfulness towards anyone. So listen to that again. I said mercy. It's love, kindness, and faithfulness towards anyone. Mercy. How about truth? Truth is in the text. You can look this up in your concordance later. Truth means firmness, reliability, and faithfulness. There's a common word in both of those definitions, and it's faithfulness. Mercy and truth. Faithful. Faithful in the little things. And you'll find God's favor. There was some students that were doing a study, college students, because normally those are the ones that do the deep studies, right? I don't know, just teasing. So we have the college students, they're doing a study, and their study was, looking for leadership. And so what they did is they planted a piece of trash, like planted means they placed a piece of trash in a prominent trafficked area. And then they just set up a table and observed. As college student after college student after college student walked right past the trash. I mean, it's a piece of trash. Not a big piece, just a little piece of trash. Walked right by it, college student after college student. And then finally, an older man stopped along the way, bent over, picked up the trash, stuck it in his pocket, and kept on going. And this one student leaned over to the other and said, "That must have been the janitor." And the other student actually, he corrected him, "Actually, no, that was the president of the university." To their shock, when you're faithful in the little things, you'll find God's favor. Joseph was promised, or it was said in the dream that Joseph would be used by God in a place of prominence where he would be elevated and his brothers would be in obeisance. Why? Because he was faithful in the little things every step of the way. And listen, you don't have to do something grand or great to find God's favor. You don't have to go to the altar and just shed a bunch of tears and then surrender and be, some missionary or some amazing pianist or some, soul winner who wins 10 people to Christ every month or something. I mean, to do something great for God, all you need to do is to be faithful in the little things. And you'll find God's favor. It's hard enough to be faithful in the little things, though, at times, isn't it? Just to get up and read your Bible every day, whether anybody sees you or not. To every day spend some time in prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Ooh, that was a good song tonight, wasn't it? Or that was this morning. Or was it tonight? I can't remember. Anyway, we sang that song. I love it. Seek the Lord in prayer, and we pray every day. And be faithful in the little things we know God wants us to do. Be faithful. Hey, live with mercy and truth in your life. And be faithful to those. And be faithful to what you know God wants you to do. And you'll find God's favor poured out on you. And God will elevate you. God will put you in a place of prominence, but it won't be because we have elevated ourselves to some place of prominence or thought ourselves something great. It's just because we've been faithful in the little things. And God will do it. So let me say, I'm going to give you a statement, and then we'll have prayer and we'll be done. This is what I want you to remember tonight. You'll find favor with God when you are faithful in the little things. Father, tonight, we are just so glad about your word and what you've done through the life of Joseph. And I feel that tonight we've learned a few things, the character of Joseph, as we see in the scripture, as he's a picture of Jesus Christ. And we're excited to study that more as we go along. But that he was faithful, that he was a servant, God. And we thank you for that testimony, and we thank you for the word tonight that we've needed, that we tonight can decide, we can determine that we will be faithful in the little things and then watch your grace poured out on us. Thank you so much, Father, for your word and for the Spirit of God who speaks to us. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.